Hi, I'm Carl Azus, welcoming our viewers around the world to the last broadcast of our spring season. Fridays are awesome. Many Americans have a three-day weekend coming up. Since 1971, the Memorial Day holiday has been observed on the last Monday in May. It's come to symbolize the unofficial beginning of summer, a time of cookouts and family reunions, a time when Americans can wear white shoes again, according to an old-fashioned fashion rule. But the true meaning of the holiday is in remembrance. Memorial Day is a tribute to all Americans who died serving in their nation's conflicts. It started during the Civil War, when mourners used flowers to decorate the graves of those who'd been killed in battle. That gave rise to the holiday known as Decoration Day. It was marked in states that fought for the Union and the Confederacy. After World War I, which ended in 1918, the holiday's name was changed to Memorial Day, and it became a time to remember servicemen and women who'd been lost in every war. Flags are placed in their honor, parades and church services, public events are held. The president traditionally lays a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns in Arlington National Cemetery. That can take place on Veterans Day as well, but while that holiday recognizes everyone who's served in the armed forces, Memorial Day focuses on those who gave their lives in service. The respects paid at Arlington are mirrored in cemeteries and communities all across America. This year, Memorial Day coincides with another historic date. One of America's worst outbreaks of racial violence occurred on May 31st, 1921. It's known as the Tulsa Race Massacre or the Tulsa Race Riot. Historians believe it started with an accusation against a black man, a confrontation between black and white mobs, the fatal shooting of a white protester, and then widespread destruction of an African-American neighborhood of Tulsa, Oklahoma. There's a lot of mystery around it. No one knows who actually fired the first shot. According to Encyclopedia Britannica, estimates of the number killed range from 30 to 300, mostly African Americans. Here's CNN 10 contributor Chris James.
Hey Carl, I've come to Tulsa, Oklahoma, a city that's been reckoning with their own painful history of racial violence. Right here on the ground where I'm standing, once stood the neighborhood known as Black Wall Street. 100 years ago, this was a thriving and prosperous black community called the Greenwood District, with movie theaters, stores, doctors, schools, and even a pilot who owned his own plane. Keep in mind, during this time, it was illegal for black people and white people to freely shop and live in the same places. They weren't even allowed to use the same water fountains. Tensions between residents reached a tipping point after an incident inside an elevator, when an unconfirmed rumor began to spread that a 19-year-old black man tried to hurt a 17-year-old white girl. On May 31st, 1921, a group of black and white men confronted each other outside the Tulsa courthouse. After the firing of gunshots, pure and utter mayhem ensued. A mob of angry white residents began to loot and burn black businesses throughout the Greenwood District. In the span of 24 hours, 35 square blocks were burned, and over 1,200 houses were destroyed. It's unclear how many people were killed, but some historians have the number as high as 300, with thousands left homeless. This Monday will mark the 100-year anniversary of what's now known as the Tulsa Race Massacre. It's one of the worst incidents of racial violence in U.S. history, and for decades it was one of the least talked about in news reports and public school textbooks. But now the city of Tulsa has decided to face its dark past to ensure a brighter future for all. And on Monday's special edition of CNN 10, I'll introduce you to the teachers and students leading the way. Back to you, Carl.
10-second trivia. In what year was the first spacewalk completed? 1957, 1965, 1969, or 1972? In March of 1965, a Soviet cosmonaut took the first spacewalk. An American astronaut followed 3 months later. The anniversary of that is next week on June 3rd. It'll mark 56 years since astronaut Ed White took a walk in space. It was one thing to get outside the Gemini 4 capsule in orbit. It was another to actually get work done, according to NASA. So astronauts on subsequent missions began training underwater so they'd have an idea about what it'd be like in space.
Set race on the spacecraft.
Okay, set race on the spacecraft at this time, Hawaii.
You're
hatch came open, immediately inside the airlock itself, it was bathed in this beautiful color of blue. And it was a light reflecting off the ocean below. And I saw the planet Earth and just my feet just dangling there. And I thought to myself, you know, this is absolutely beautiful. I can't believe it, I'm here. And then I said, okay, we got work to do.
Okay, and then at this point, then we'll just have you go towards your feet between the modules. And Danny, once you have that fuse tether in place, before you BRT to the handrail.
The process associated with actually going out the door begins months beforehand.
Ready for you to do your next step.
Okay. Understanding the choreography of what's going to take place over an 8-hour period. What are the technical challenges for that particular activity?
Okay, thank you. Can you BRT? I am. You can BRT.
You are your own self-contained vessel. You have your own oxygen system, your own power supply, your own communication system. You have, obviously, all the tools that you brought with you. You have the ability to reject the heat that you're building up as you're working inside the spacesuit. So you have to kind of manage all that as your own little independent spacecraft out there. And because we can rely heavily on our training, that allows us to not be overwhelmed with the things that you just can't emulate here on the ground. At the end of our first spacewalk, I stopped on the truss just for a second, and it was nighttime, and I looked down below, and I knew exactly where I was. I was over the Indian Ocean, because I could see the lights along the coastline. Just such an incredible feeling to just be able to see that, to take that in, and kind of be able to be in that moment.
Quick, name the world's largest carnivorous marsupial. If you said Tasmanian devil, you're pretty smart. Usually you'll find these things on the Australian island of Tasmania. Conservationists say they used to be on the mainland, but died out because of disease and competition from dingoes. Anyway, efforts to reintroduce them to the continent are making progress. A wildlife sanctuary says 7 Tasmanian devil babies were just born in the Australian wild. Of course, this isn't good news for foxes or feral cats. They don't want Taz back on the Manian land, especially if they're carrying pouches full of babies that may not play well with the kits. But those species that don't mind another pupping back in could find themselves calving a great time. It's always a joey when you're kitting around and having fun, and if it continues, it could lead to Tasmania. On that note, it has been a joey to bring you the news throughout a crazy academic year. We are so grateful. It is such a blessing to have the best audience in news, and we hope you have nothing but good news throughout the summer. Shout out goes out to Flagstaff High School. Thank you for watching from Flagstaff, Arizona. I'm Coral Azus. We will look forward to seeing all y'all again when we return in August, but until then, Taz all, folks, for our spring broadcasting season of CNN.